3. Regarding the temple of divine services, my house shall be called the house of prayer, Matthew 21st chapter 13th verse. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplications, Acts 1, 14th verse. The church is earthly heaven. Those who stand in it must stand with reverence, fittingly like holy angels, with eyes lowered to the ground, not leaning against the walls, with hands lowered and not folded together, without feet protruding, but standing with both feet flat on the ground, Bishop Ignatius. The grace of God is the inexorable possessions of the divine temple. In the visible world, there is undoubtedly air. In the divine temple, there is undoubtedly the grace of God, and therefore believe so in the grace of God, and with this sureness in the action of grace, stand in the divine temple, just as you are certain of the action of air upon you when you breathe air. In this matter, one may say, it is impossible in the divine temple to not be filled with the grace of God. Only, unless you yourself distance it from you, or we ourselves impede its action upon us. If you want the grace of God, which abides in the divine temple, do act upon you, do not impede its actions upon you, distance all distractions, all sinful things from yourself, abandon all worldly concerns. It is better to abandon even the best of pious thoughts if they distract you from this sacred ministry being performed. Even restrain the most prayerful sighs within yourself if they are not uniform with the church prayers. In church, one must pray in such a way as the church prays, and think namely about how she is doing this. It is through this sacred mystery that the grace of God acts upon us. How close to us is the grace of God, dwelling within the temple of God. Only one must observe it with reverential simplicity. Only one must delve into all of this with calm attentiveness, and it, like the light of the sun in the midst of the day, will illuminate our soul, and like the fragrance wafting in a beautiful garden, will delight our heart. All earthly things are but an image and shadow of heavenly things. Thus the image of the divine service on earth is an image of the heavenly one. The beauty of the temple is the image of the unapproachable glory of God in the heavens. The sweet odor of the senses is the image of the inexpressible fragrance of the saints there. The hymns here are an image of the unspeakable angelic doxology there, St. John of Kronstadt. The temple is not needed by God, those whose throne is the heavens and the earth his footstool, and whom the universe cannot contain. But for man who needs to seek refuge in God through every possible distancing of himself from the vanity of creatures where the senses of the presence of God has been lost, Privilege of Moscow. The church services, through their progression, content of prayers, readings, and chanting, instill a deep gratitude towards God and a mutual fellowship and love for one another, no matter who that other person may be, and the awareness of our innumerable transgressions and incessant repentance cause of them, pronouncing frequently the prayer of the publican in the shortened form, Lord have mercy, St. Jan of Kronstadt. In the temple, God is present in an especially close manner, and therefore our prayer has greater access to him. Here a propitiatory sacrifice is offered unto him, and therefore he will more quickly fulfill our prayer. Here we pray to God altogether, and he particularly loves it when two or three pray to him together. Here, if your prayer does not reach God, then others will propitiate him for you. And therefore, when you attend church, then never forget that here others pray with you, for you and with you, and if you don't really on your own prayer, then be comforted by the thought that perhaps God will hear the prayers of others who pray for you. Here, if you have no diligence towards prayer, then it will easily be born within you. Seeing others praying, you will begin to pray. When you are walking from your cell to church to appear before the face of God, in your step you must preserve reverence, never running, not looking from side to side, but keeping your eyes lowered to the ground, not waning your hands, but keeping them lowered, Bishop Ignatius. In general, in the Church of God, one must preserve as great a sense of reverence as possible, and order just as for the glory of God as well as for one's own soul's benefit and for the benefit of the souls of those present who are edified by the reverence of monastics and are not scandalized, tempted, or harmed by their lack of reverence. One must not leave the temple in an untimely manner. One must not permit even the least violation of the rules of decorum and reverence. From carelessness in small and trivial things, it is easy and quick to progress in negligence in most important and in all things. In order to preserve attention to one's most important duties, one must constantly watch oneself and be attentive to all, even the most trifling of one's actions, Bishop Ignatius. It is good to arrive for divine service before all others, but it is not good to leave this service without need prior to the dismissal, St. Ephraim the Syrian. How is it that some dare to leave divine service before the dismissal without any need? Can it be that when you are summoned to a supper by a rich man, would you dare to get up from among those supping with you and go home? Would you not wait patiently until everyone gets up together?